This is just really important. This is something that's just really been on my heart for months, and it's something that has really touched a nerve out there, I'll tell you. We put this out there, you know, on the website and on sermon audio, and we've had right around 300 people listen to this message in the last week since I put it up there. And I'm talking about the one I preached 2 weeks ago. And here's what's interesting to me. You guys, do you remember what I preached about? What was the message about? Where are the men? How that the men are just marginalized. They're AWOL. They're gone. Here's the deal. You know, of all the comments and all the people who responded to the message, guess for me here. Was it men or women who responded to the message?
Women.
I mean in favor of. Of all of the people, there were four men who responded to the message, and two of them is you got some of you that are here. Where are the men? You would have thought that a message like that would have appealed to men and encouraged them to step up. No, not the case. It's the women who are looking for the men. Where are they? So, you know, you women that get mad at me for some of the things I say when I preach like this, you need to listen to this. The women are not our problem. The men are our problem. The men, when they step up, the women will, they'll fall right in line in God's order. But when there's a vacancy, they'll fill it. So men, when are you going to step up? I just wanted to throw that in there. Now today we're going to talk about just what is a man. And there's so much to say about it that I don't know how in the world. And I've really worked hard to try to refine it down to just three simple points here this morning. And there's much more to it than this, but maybe we can... I'm trying to put it in such an order so that it's easily understood and remembered. I don't want to just shotgun you every time we come to church with this deal. Man, this is important, and we must understand this. Well, let's pray, and we'll get started here. Father, thank you for the songs, and thank you again for each person that's here this morning. Lord, souls that you love and care for, and lives that are represented here, some young, some old. Some of them are just starting on this journey of life, and they're starting in a dark, evil world that's upside down in every way. And Lord, how they need this morning, please help them to hear it and to listen on purpose. And help me, Lord, to be clear in my speaking. Help me to do it in a way that is that people will be willing to listen and can understand what I'm meaning, even if I don't say it exactly clear enough. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says this. Now, I've got scriptures. I'm going to read all the way through this, but let's just start right here. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now, we all understand here this morning that God created man. And he created man in his image. Man. Now, what is a man? Well, to really understand what a man is supposed to be like, we need to look at what God had in mind when he created the first man. Don't you think that's a good idea? That's a good place to start, isn't it? Yep. Instead of our opinions and our likes and dislikes and our prejudices and all of our preferences, why don't we start with what the one who made man had in mind for a man to be? Well, the first thing about it is God made man in his own image and likeness. So that's the first thing about a man, is he's supposed to be godly. And he can't be a complete man. He can't be a real man, a right man, what a man is supposed to be, what God made him to be, if he's not a godly man. If God's not his pattern, if God's not his example, if God's not his Lord, he can't be the right kind of man. He's not going to be much above what the animal kingdom is. The males in the animal kingdom, they're pretty much dominant, aren't they? Overall, yeah, there's a few exceptions, but most of the time, the male is the stronger, and he forces his way because he's bigger and stronger and more aggressive and more assertive. That ain't what makes a man, guys. God is what makes a man, first of all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man." So the man is what? He's the image and the glory of God. We need to have that in our mind first of all when we try to figure out and decide and make up our mind about what a man is. God first. Now, before God created a man, he created a place for that man to be, for a place for that man to exercise dominion. He provided a home for the man where he was to be the head over. You stand with me? God made man. But before he made the man, he made a place for the man. God did that. The man didn't do that. The man didn't make his own place. The man didn't prepare his own place. God provided. God prepared a place for this man to exercise dominion and to live his life and to fulfill his purpose. God made that place for him. You got a place. There's a place. God's made for you, prepared for you to live in, to exercise your dominion in, to live out your purpose in. Either you're living in God's place or you're living in your own place that you've provided, that you've prepared, that you've created for yourself. Now, he created other creatures that were far inferior to the man to be under his care, his rule, and his dominion. Isn't that the order of creation? God created the place, and then he created all the other creatures, and then he created man. When everything else was there in place, then God made a man. That's the way it works. Oh, I wish you could get to, I hope you can get it. I hope you can get this stuff. But God made a woman for the man, but he didn't make her out of the same stuff that he made the man out of. God don't make women out of the same stuff that he makes men out of. She was made out of part of the man, not out of the dirt. She came from him, not from the ground that he came from. It takes a man who's been made by God to make a woman that'll be what God meant for her to be. She can't be made out of nothing. Her womanhood must be based in true manhood. So you see why we got such a mess that we're in? Y'all staying with me so far? Been simple so far. When there are no true men, there are no true women. That's why we got an upside down world and why we're in such a mess. Everything is wrong. Everything's wrong. It's all out of order and it's out of place. And it's not like it's supposed to be. I wish that somehow we could get an idea this morning of what God meant for a man to be. And what God meant for a woman to be. And when God got that done and he was finished and he had the man and the woman, God said, "It is very good." And it was. And it still is. When they're in their proper place, fulfilling their proper role, when they're made out of the proper stuff. Yes. The woman was not made for the man to have dominion over. Did you ever notice that? God named everything on the earth, the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, the beast of the field, the earth, everything. But not her. She wasn't given him to have dominion over. That wasn't the plan. No. He's her head. That's right. But he's not to exercise dominion like he does over everything else. I hope you all can get that. Does that sound contrary to what you've always thought I felt like and believed? She was given to him to be his help in life, to fulfill God's purpose and God's will, which is to exercise dominion. And there's another point that I'm going to make in a minute about that. But that's what she was given to him for. Now, she was not given to the man so he could make her happy. Guys, the purpose of your life is not to make some woman happy. Say hallelujah, amen. Now, if you're the right kind of man, she's going to be happy. You are going to make her happy. But your purpose in life is not to make some woman happy or some kid happy. Your purpose in life is to fulfill the will of God. And the will of God for a man's life is for him to exercise dominion in the place where God has prepared for him to be. And he's also, I'll get to that in a minute here, but no, she was given to make life happy and complete. That's what the woman was given for. Now, God created the man, all the animals, everything was there, except the woman, and God said, this is good. It is good. But then he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. So he made a woman, and he gave her, he brought her and presented her to the man, part of himself. I mean, she came from him. She was made out of him. And she was given to him to make life happy and complete. She's always referred to as part of the man, not a separate individual with a separate purpose. No, the Bible's clear on that all the way through. Two become one. Two become one flesh. That's right. He called their name Adam. They're two people, but they're one. It's supposed to be that way with us in Christ. We're one. Our life is his life. I mean, the only way we live, it's Christ that liveth in me. That's life. That's what our life is about. And so that's the way it is to be with a man and a wife. She's always referred to as part of the man. So man was created with a place, with a purpose, and with a partner. And the proper order is first the place, and then the purpose, and then the partner. You boys listening to me? You girls listening to me? Back here a few weeks ago, when we were talking about the law, and we were talking about the servitude and the rules for being a servant and all that. And we talked about how men were committed for 6 years to serve, whether it was for a debt or whether it was for a punishment for a crime or whatever. And I tried to explain to you how the women were protected under God's law. They were sold. And boy, everybody says, oh, they sold their daughters. They sold. What a low-down rascal. I don't think that's so bad. You ain't looking at it deep enough. No Joe could just drive up in front of the house and honk the horn and take your daughter off. He had to have means. He had to be established. He had to have a place for her already. He had to have a way of providing for her. And once he got her, he couldn't just dump her. And she wasn't going to marry somebody that wasn't going to take care of her, or that she was going to have to work to provide for the rest of her life. See, God's wiser than we are. He knows what he's doing. Even if we're so wrapped up in this pop culture of ours that we're offended with the word of God and the ways of God, we're wrong for that. You read something in here and you say, oh my goodness, I don't see how that... You need to back up and think about it a little bit. Maybe it ain't so bad as you think it is. Maybe it was a good thing. A place first, then a purpose, and then a partner. The reason the marriages are not lasting is because they got it all backwards. They get the partner first, then they go to looking for a place, and then they go to looking for a purpose, and they ain't got one. Nobody's ready to get married until they're a man. And a man has a place and a purpose. Then he can have a partner. Then he needs a helpmeet. If he's got a place and he's got a purpose, then he needs a helpmeet. It's the way God sees it. Maybe we don't see it that way, but that's the way God sees it. So, when all of God's creation was wrecked by sin and his divine order for things turned upside down by man's perversion and selfishness, God sent another man made in his own image and likeness. Y'all know who that was. The man, Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do you measure a man? By Christ. The perfect man. He was the perfect man. You want to see what a man is supposed to be like? Look at Christ. He was a man. Yes, sir. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He's talking about Christ being like God. He was the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ was the image of God, the express image of his person. Adam was the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. Adam was made in the likeness and in the image and likeness of God. Jesus was the express image of God. He told the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God, when he made a man, had in mind the image of himself. Godliness. All right. If we fail to see what a man is meant to be like in Adam, we can see it perfectly in the second Adam, if we look. Now, in God's design, a man has to have a place. Let's just go over these real quick, and I'll say a few things about each one of them, and then we'll be done. God's design, a man has to have a place. There must be a realm where in which he can accomplish the will of God for his life. And that's what concerns me about everybody. And you young guys here. And you young ones coming up. And some of you, it's already there. What is your purpose in life? I know what your purpose is, but do you consider the will of God to be important at all in your life? You're all thinking about making money and jobs and going places and getting things. And you're thinking about girls and all of this stuff. But what about the will of God? I'll tell you how it was back when I was your age and somebody preached to me. I was concerned about the will of God for my life. What is my life about? What am I here for? Is there more for me to be here for besides working and sleeping and eating and working and sleeping and eating? And I came to the conclusion, yeah, there's something more to life than just the vain things that everybody else does all the time. We got to work and we got to eat and we got to do all that stuff, but that's not the purpose of life. When are you guys going to get a hold of that? Why do you want to live your life in vanity and foolishness and just and nonsense? Won't you get a hold of something bigger? That's what makes a man. When you get something to live for, when you understand that there's more to life than just the vain, monotonous, everyday things of life, you got to look beyond that. There has to be a realm in God's plan, in God's design, where a man can accomplish the will of God for his life. And God provided the place for the first man, and that's what all other men should look for also. You ought to look for what God wants you to do with your life. What God wants you to be in your life. Not what you want to be. If I was what I wanted to be, it'd be something completely different as far as my own selfish desires and all of that. I wouldn't be doing this. But God's changed me inside to where the things that are important to me are not the things that old Mike would have wanted or thought. I've seen there's something beyond all that trumps all of that. Forgive me for using that word. Anyway, God provided the place. He'll provide a place for you. If you say, well, I just don't know and I don't know how to find it. Have you ever sought after it? Hey, have you ever looked to God and really sought the will of God for your life? How many of us here this morning in this little old crowd would God call to preach or send to a mission field or do something else with? That ain't all there is to do. And you don't have to do that to be in the will of God. Everybody can't do all that. But there's a lot of other things you can do. And don't fool yourself by doing what you want to do, doing your will, and then saying, well, this is what God wants me to do. There's two different things there. Oh, yeah. Well, you have to be willing to submit to God. And that's the problem right here. You're not willing to submit. You're determined to have it your way and get what you want. And do what you want to do and what you think is best. And if all that don't work out, well, God's still there. Don't count on that. That's a foolish thing to think. Well, seek the place God prepared for you. And don't try to create your own place to exercise dominion. Ain't going to work. And then be content with the place that God has provided for you as a man. The place doesn't constitute a man, though. And a lot of people have a place, but they lack the right purpose in their life. And when the purpose is wrong, the place is not going to be a pleasant place. I don't care if it's the finest house in the county. I don't care if they've got the most money in the whole state. It ain't going to be a nice place when you've missed the purpose for your life. Now, in God's design, a man has a purpose. The will of God is the purpose of a man's life. The perfect man, Jesus Christ, made it clear what the will of God for a man is. John 6, 38 says this. Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." All right, that's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? Jesus didn't come to do what he wanted to do. He came to do God's will, what God wanted to do. That's the purpose of a man's life. Now, y'all getting that? I mean, that's the straightest shooting way that I know to put it. The purpose for your life as a man is to do the will of God. You understand that, Wyatt? You other boys understand that? You're wasting your life, and you're going to lose your soul doing your own will and ignoring the will of God. Been made in the image of God, his ultimate purpose was to have dominion over all the earth and over everything that lived in it. Genesis chapter 1, you only get to verse 26 when you read this. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." Who's them? Male and female. "And over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So man was to have dominion over all other life on the earth. The forest doesn't belong to the animals. It belongs to man. They do not have a right to destroy and kill man. The simplest people used to understand that. An animal is an animal. Their life is to be regarded. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. And you do consider life, but this earth belongs to man. Yes, sir. Man has dominion by God's authority. That's right. So we shouldn't give place. We shouldn't abandon large tracts of land because there might be a bat that lives there that's about to go extinct. We shouldn't abandon and displace people in order to protect some animal. Amen. You know, when this land, when people came in here, there were wolves and bears and lions and every other kind of dangerous creature. And you know what they did to them? They killed them. The county, the state had bounties on them. When I was a kid, my grandpa killed a bobcat out here where you grew up out there, Mike. The dogs chased it up there on the porch one day, up again the porch one night. And he shot that thing. He took it over there to the county seat. They gave him $5 for killing it. Now they might put you in jail. A menace. Well, anyway, you understand this, don't you? God gave man dominion over everything that lived on the earth. Not so he could abuse it. Not so he could destroy it. Having dominion over it doesn't mean you destroy everything in your path. I'm going to get to it in a minute here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then in Psalm 8 verse 6 it says, "Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." He's talking about man. So y'all get the idea of God's view of man on earth. Everything's supposed to be under man. Man's on top. Everything else is underneath. Man, he's to look at his position that way. Under God, but above everything else. In authority. In responsibility. Y'all follow me now. Don't go off and thinking a bunch of junk. He was put in the place God had prepared for him to dress and to keep it. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 10, verse 15, The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now listen to me. He was to care for it and oversee it and make sure that everything stayed in order the way God had made it in the first place. Now, ain't that right? Yep. He was put there to dress it and to keep it. God made it perfect. Adam was to keep it that way. Man's responsibility. That's your responsibility in life. Stand. Get a firm foundation under you and stand there and guard it and guard the truth and guard the right way. A godly man will make sure that everything that's in his realm, in his place, stays in order the way God meant for it to be. Not what he demands, and not for his pleasure, and not for his selfish lust, but because God said so. A real man is under God's authority, but he is over whatever his place that he's in, his home, right? He's to make sure. A man's responsibility in his home is to make sure that it stays right according to God, God's word, God's truth. We ain't doing that. That don't go in this house. Man ought to be, he ain't a man if he can't stand up and say that and make it stick. No, we're just not doing that here. Now all the men ought to say amen. And all the women ought to say amen. That's right. I'm telling you how it is, how God's way is. This is not what Mike Miller believes and thinks. And this is God's way. And this is what a man is. This is the essence of manhood. This is his responsibility. He has a place. He has authority over that place. He has responsibility before God for the place where he's at to keep it and to dress it. And to keep it in order the way God made it. He was to maintain things in their perfect order. And then in John 6:39, Jesus said, "This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Don't y'all see how that connects with what I've just been talking about? Jesus, the man, that's what he said. This was the will of God, that he lose nothing, but that he keep what the Father had given him and raise it again at the last day. That takes a man. And that's what God created when he made that garden, put that man in there. This was what his power of dominion was to accomplish. It was not given to him to justify fulfilling his own selfish desires at the expense of other people around him or other animals around him or anything else around him. A man's purpose has to be something outside of himself, something to live for, besides his own pleasure and pride and possessions. This purpose was enough for the first man. He was satisfied with it. And it was good. His life was good with that. But it was not complete with a place and a purpose. He had a place to be. He had a place to be, have dominion over. He had a job to do. He had things to keep, but he was still incomplete because God said it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. The original design of man by God was that he'd have a place, he'd have a purpose, and that he'd have a partner. He had a place and a purpose that God had provided for him, but his life was still incomplete. Somebody to share his place and his purpose with. Somebody like him. Somebody who could understand and who would be willing to add their life to his and become one life. But he needed a help, meet for him. In other words, somebody suited for him. Somebody like himself, made in his image. See, that's why God made man. And that's why God made the woman for the man. She was made in his image. Did you ever think about when you look in the mirror, you're looking at your image and everything's backwards? Raise your right hand. That image is raising its left hand. You're looking at the inversion of yourself, see? An image, that's the way it is. Male and female are that way, aren't they? They're that way physically. They're that way emotionally. They're that way every way. They fit together just like two pieces of a puzzle in every way, in every aspect of life. That's the way God meant for it to be. God didn't mean for him to be a butting heads all the time, a fighting over and a struggling against one another and a striving for position and authority and a butting heads all the time. God didn't mean for it to be that way. They're to come together and be one. One in unity and harmony. Everything goes together like it's supposed to be. That's what God made for Adam. Everything about male and female, that's the way it is. It mirrors. One mirrors the other. Everything about their physical design, their emotions, their dispositions and views are designed to complement and fulfill one another. Man needed a woman. He didn't need another man. You put two men like that and that ain't going to work. It just don't work. Woman was designed to need a man. The preacher told me yesterday that there was three or four of them women in the nursing home tugging and lifting around them. They couldn't get it done, and so they had to go get this man. And the man come in there, and he helped them, and they got it done. He said, "See there, ladies," said, "you, even women need a man sometimes." And boy, he said, they all got mad at me. And they stormed out of the room and said the young black man that helped him said, you can't say that stuff. You can't talk like that. Well, why not? What kind of a woman would think that she doesn't need a man? I've heard them say it. I've heard them say it a lot of times. I've heard them say, "I'm raising my daughter so she don't have to depend on no man. She's going to have her life so she don't need no man." How ungodly can you get? She does too need a man. And a man needs a woman. God made them for one another. How can you go against God so brazen and blatantly? What is this that's such a rebellion against God's way? What is this that feels so offended? Because why are you so insecure in being a woman that you're offended because somebody says you need a man? I'm standing there. I believe it. You ain't got no ground to argue with it either. It's right. God thought Adam needed a woman and the woman needed the man. And it's just a pretty good life. I tell you, it's a pretty good relationship when you need one another. When you know that somebody needs you, that just kind of helps, don't it? It really hurts you when they say, "I don't need you." Or if you think they don't need you. If you get to thinking, "Well, they could be as happy as they could be without me. Why they need me?" Man, ain't that hurtful and wrong? What's so offensive about just needing somebody? And why does it have to be based on gender, whether it's offensive or not? Need to stop all this warfare between the genders and stop that nonsense. Stop that thinking. Stop that attitude. It's ungodly and it's wrong. We're not opposed to one another. We're not in this to fight one another. We're in this together to make life what it's supposed to be for all of us and for it to be very good and wonderful the way God meant for it to be. And what's missing? What's missing in our day? What's the problem? The men. The men won't step up. The men won't take the rightful place in God's order. Well, I want to say another thing or two here. Let me read this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 9 says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Well, now that's an obvious fact, isn't it? Does that put her lower? Is that demeaning to her? Of course not. I look at it completely different. She was a gift God presented to Adam, made Adam happy. And it made the woman happy. And it made everything very good. And it was God's idea and God's way. And it was a blessing that God's given us for life. And we fuss about it and we despise it and we try to juggle it around and change it up. And I hear people talking about their spouse like a dog and it just makes me sick. It just makes me angry. You know, what's the matter with you? You stood right there and you promised to love her. And there was a time when you said you loved her and she was just what you needed. And then all you can do is talk bad about her or her about him. Stop it. The first man was provided a partner from God that was just what he needed. Boys, you better look to the same place Adam did. Better quit shopping. Better quit searching out there like you're hunting mushrooms or something. You better quit looking. Genesis chapter 6 is when the problem started, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and started taking them. Yes, sir, buddy. They'll show you whatever you want to see to get your eye. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear to get their hooks in you. But you better look to God. You better look to God for a wife. Mm-mm-mm-mm. If she comes from anywhere else, if she's of your choosing, I guarantee you, you're going to be sorry. The first man, God provided his partner. He provided the place. He provided the purpose. All other men ought to look to the same place for the partner if they've got the right place and the right purpose in their life. A man can't be a true man outside the will of God. He can be what the world considers a man, but muscles don't make a man. Pride and possessions don't make a man. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. No, it ain't what makes it. The world may think he's a man. He may have all the physical attributes and character of a man, but he's not what God considers to be a man when he conducts his life outside the will of God. When God come looking for a man in Israel, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, looking for a man, couldn't find one, do you think there wasn't any big, tough, strong guys around? Sure there were. No males to be found. There's always males to be found. Half the population's males, but no men. God wasn't looking for a weightlifter. He wasn't looking for somebody that had the perfect set of abs. He was looking for a man, and a man's not made of that stuff without this. Y'all listening? He may have a place and a purpose and a partner, but they're all of his own will and making and not from the hand of God. If that's the case, he's a man of the world, but not a man of God. And when God needs a man, he'll not be looking in his direction. The kind of man that God is looking for right now is the kind I'm describing to you here this morning. Why do you guys want to impress the world? Why do you want to be like them? They change all the time. When I was a boy, I told you, when I was a teenager and young man, buddy, anybody that had an earring was he wasn't no man. Now that's what a man is. Because all these rappers and punks and everybody else started doing it. So that's what a man is. That's what the world thinks a man is. I'm telling you the way it was from the beginning what a man is. Why don't you anchor in something solid? Why don't you pattern your life after something solid instead of that junk? If they all go to wearing dresses, you going to do it too? Well, sure they will. Yeah. Well, I have to watch myself because I just turn around. I just get real ugly about it. And I don't like being ugly about stuff. So if this is the case, he's a man of the world. But see, a man without God, his place becomes a prison of his own making. You better listen to me. One of these days, these words will ring in your ears. God has a place that he'll provide for you. But if you won't have it, and you make your own place, it's going to become a prison for you. His purpose without God becomes pride and pleasure and possessions. You're either going to live your life for God and his will, or you're going to live your life promoting your pride and your possessions and seeking pleasure for yourself. That's all your life's going to amount to unless you give your life to do the will of God, which is to be in your place, to exercise dominion in your place, to dress and keep your place. His partner, without God, his partner more often than not becomes the calamity of his life rather than the completion of his life. Ain't that awful? But it is the truth. So a true definition of what a man is has to start with Christ as the head of that man. The best examples of true men who ever lived on this earth were men who were submitted to Christ and who ordered their lives according to the pattern in the Word of God. That's right. So what is a man? He's godly. God is his head, first of all. Without that, he's a male. But so are the animals, too. A man is made in the image and likeness of God. He's not a beast. He's not an animal. He's much higher than that. He's been exalted and elevated above all of that. He has dominion by the authority of God over all of that. He's a higher creature. Yes, sir. That's what a man is. And he has a purpose to live and fulfill the will of God. That's what God made man, put him on the earth for. Don't you see God's plan from the beginning? How it was? And everything was good. Until man decided to chunk the will of God and do it his way. And it wrecked everything. For everybody. And you don't think it'll do that for you in your little life this morning? Oh yeah, it will. You better start seeking God. Yeah. In the days of thy youth, you better do it. You better seek God. You better start looking and seeking and praying and trying to find the will of God for your life, the purpose of God for your life. What are you going to be? What are you going to do? What are you? What kind of a person are you going to be? It's Some of you right now, you haven't really decided, I'm going to be wicked. I don't care nothing about this God stuff and this church stuff. I'm getting out of this as soon as I can. I doubt there's very many of you that way this morning. What you are, you're just indecisive. You just got your sails up waiting on the wind. Just whichever way it blows, that's the way I'm going. That's what you're doing. And you got your sail to the winds of this world. You better drop that and then you better put up your sail and start listening for the voice of God. You better start seeking God about your life, about what you're going to be, what you are, what your purpose is going to be here in these last days, man. Look ahead. That's why I'm preaching on this, because it looks so dark ahead of us. And it's what I told you a week or so, 2 weeks ago. Man, if we ain't got no men, we got some terrifying things in front of us. And I'm not, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, but I'm looking at you guys. And we don't know when the Lord's coming. And we don't know what's all going to transpire and how this is going to play out before he comes. I know that in the end, everything's going to be good for the child of God. But until then, don't tell me that it don't matter. Don't tell me that God ain't looking for men now. He is. And that's why I'm preaching about it. So let's think about this stuff. And you boys, you know, stand up and be men. And I don't mean to be pushy and proud and bully and boastful and arrogant and a bunch of jerks. The first thing about a man is godliness. Amen. Let's stand. See, now I kept my promise. I told you and I kept my promise. It's just 10 to 12. See, I can do it. Read about the prophets, and I read the burden of this and the burden of that. Y'all know what they're talking about? I do. Because that's what I feel this morning, just the burden of this. I look at you, and some are just as indifferent as they can be. Others are looking at me like, what's he talking about? Wake up. Let's bow. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth. Pray you'd bless it now to our hearts and minds and make it understandable, Lord. I pray that you would open understanding. I can't do that. And Lord, all I can do is just think about it, pray about it, which I've done, and try to put it together in a way with your help so that folks can get it and understand it. So important. What are they going to do? Well, we're going to keep talking about this, and we're going to try to help these young guys to understand and parents to understand what it is to make a man, how a man's made and how he's measured. Help us, Lord. Bless it to our hearts. Get us home now and work in hearts as we leave in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. But I got a word real quick. Ain't no songs we can sing, are there, about this? Yeah, that's a good one. Let's sing that and then we'll be dismissed. All right.
Do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Take me, bring me, hold me and make me. I want to do thy will.
All right, well, we're glad to have everybody here this morning. Jeff and Dina, sure am glad y'all are here. And Millie, glad to have you. Be praying for you tomorrow. And then Brandon and the family here. Tell me your last name again.
Freeland.
I wanted to say Freelander. That ain't right, is it? Freeland. They're from Keelan. So they've driven quite a ways to be with us this morning. Glad you're here, y'all. And all righty.